You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. we pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to be done, it must be done, you got it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you. You're listening to the African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. All times are going to give our Eastern Times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and the Taki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Had on Dr. Horn last night. It was a good conversation. Good program, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And for all those that listened, I know you were pretty pleased with it. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahemba has, if he hasn't left, he's leaving today. So he'll be in Ghana tomorrow for African Liberation Day. That's great planning, dear brother. They'll be in Ghana tomorrow for African Liberation Day. In fact, everywhere around this world where a number of Africans preside, they should be celebrating and planning to make sure African Liberation Day happens. Not that the day happens, not that the celebration happens, but the reality of Africa being liberated happens. African Liberation Day, and that's what we're talking about today. But Brother Bomani's leaving today. He'll be in Ghana from today, May 24th to June 5th. And then in November 18th to the 29th, Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th of 2022, he'll be in Ghana again. And then April 1st to April 11th in Senegal and Gambia. All of these trips can be yours if you go online to africaforthe africans.org,
Check them out. They're very affordable, $3,700 still on all of them. And the plan is there, and everything on the website, everything you need is right there. Everything you need. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Dr. Rinoco, who was my guest this past Friday, really appreciate him, respect him, love him, good brother, known him for many years. His The African Roots of Humanity and Civilization is this Friday, the 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern to 9:30 Eastern, and then Saturday, May 29th, 11 a.m. Eastern time to 12:30 Eastern time. He's up early. And so that's a webinar, and so you're going to go to Eventbrite. But go to the website, drrinoco.com, drrinoco.com. I'll give you his number, but I think the best way to reach him, if you listen to the program, is email, rinoco@hotmail.com, rinoco@hotmail.com. But his phone number is 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. And, of course, he has two trips coming up, July 18th to August 3rd in Ghana with Professor Small and Dr. Jeffries, Lynn Jeffries. And then he'll be in Kemet. He's leaving Ghana and going right to Kemet. Kemet, July 31st to August 13th. He'll be in Kemet. Dr. Rinoco Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, these brothers and sisters are doing the work. Habashahincorporated.org. Here in the Atlanta area with their programs of sustainable seeds and golden growers and black to your roots. So, you know, they're doing the work. And Urban Green Jobs, also to the Kashi Project in Ghana. So when you go to the website, the pictures are up to let you, you can see what they're doing. Also through their offering a course for repatriation. So HabashahIncorporated.org. Check them out. Go to Habashah. And Habashah stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, they have the Repatriation Initiative. So check it out. LEDGE, the LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. LEDGE, the LEDGEGroup.com. Go to the LEDGEGroup.com. Become a member. Also, too, you can enter a raffle for a Tanzanian safari, $15,000 value. And a 7-day African safari adventure in Ashura, Tanzania. Also, too, you can buy land. If you are a member of the LEDGE Group, you can buy land in Tanzania for $250 an acre. $250 an acre. Man. Yep. Well, the LEDGE Group, of course, they deal in the four areas of human development and activity, and that is food, water, shelter, clothing, and they have 12 projects going on the continent in six different countries and over 72 people employed and over 260 members. And you should become a member of the LEDGEGroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Bibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, this week's Saturday seminar should be outstanding. Legacies and Impacts of the Atlantic Captive Trade on African Diaspora. And this is going to be a really good presentation. They're all good. Brother Obadale Kamban is outstanding. Okay, hold it right there. Okay, when we discuss the legacies and impact of the Atlantic enslavement on African Diaspora, we must consider several issues. Among these is the tendency of the word legacy to have a positive connotation for many, where the captivity of African people may fail with regard to this criterion. More importantly, okay, I got one of those things that can make it bigger, which I like, but it also has a tendency to move. Yes. So right there. Okay. More importantly, in this paper, I would like to draw the reader's attention to the fact that in many places, such as the United Snakes, captivity has never been abolished by law, merely renamed. As such, it becomes difficult to discuss a legacy or aftermath of something that is still in progress. Therefore, we will take the United Snakes as a case study of enslavement, of captivity, challenging names, forms, yet remaining essentially the same in spirit and nature, if not worse, in terms of the impact on African people. African Liberation Day, that's why it's vitally important that we focus on tomorrow, that we focus on, not just say, African Liberation Day, wear a t-shirt and raise a fist. No, that we come together to make African liberation a reality in our time. Okay, where else I got to go? Let me go here. At Wadada's, healthy market and juice bar located in the West End here in Atlanta. Wadada's. And located in the West End, right across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open here in the Atlanta area on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And if you want to give Wadada's a call, they have delicious smoothies and health drinks. And on weekends, they have vegan food that you can buy. And their number is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, she has a new location. Give her a call. And if you're looking for books, and then she may have it. If she doesn't, she will get it. The number is 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. They have all kinds of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, figurines, t-shirts, all kinds of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote is Kazimde Ajamu's Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. He established a delicious coffee bar with my favorite coffee, Cameroon Boyo, and he's just dynamic, brother. Brother Kazimde Ajamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. And fact that they sent out the documentary I've been promoting, and that is Great Pyramid 2019. I was very happy they did that. Great Pyramid 2019. I'm just keeping it real. I mean, even though there are some who, say these caucus, just like what Renoco posed in the question that these white people are doing this, and they got the power. They got the power, don't they, to do it. They got the resources to do it. But when they do it, and they do it objectively, and they present the information the way they have, I got to give them some props. And I'm going to watch it again and continue to do so and continue to promote it, because I believe that's how it went down. And they let us know. And then through the documentary, let you know who did it. Us. Wasn't no mulattoes. No, Africans. So I want to thank Us Lifting Us for that. And, of course, Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. From 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program is Dare to Win every Thursday night. You can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us. Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road at Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Give Sister Shelley Amundsen her call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabriela really is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion in the rural area, in the hills area of Haiti, with the educational program, health program, entrepreneurial program, sustainable agriculture, just outstanding. So, brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya at Akabin Institute, you know, they truly deserve our support for the work they're doing, the sacrifices they have made in helping to raise our young warriors, our young brothers and sisters at Akabin Institute. Send check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, you can use PayPal and Cash App. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Okay? If you want to get some of his books, go to AkabinHouse.com. That's AkabinHouse.com. And his great books that he has. He has an upcoming complementarity conference. That is the 7th annual complementarity conference Saturday, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, June 5th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's an online lecture series, $10 per adult and $5 per teen. The complement conference is open to mature teens, single adults, complementary couples who affirm their African love is revolutionary. You know, how you do it is you register your donation, included in the information is complimentarity conference, your name, and the email address that the link should be sent to for you to join the conference on that day and in those times. So the complimentarity conference next week, Saturday, January. June 5th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Let me see, where else do I want to go right quick? I'll save that. I was going to go there. I'll save that because I'm going to have Mama Nabantu on with me for a minute because we're going to talk about African Liberation Day and the conference through the Pan-African Federalist Movement. And we'll talk about that. So I'll save that. And I'll go to a few other things before I go to Mama Nabantu. So just bear with me, please. I appreciate it. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, May 23rd. Freedom comes from a sense of purpose in life and a belief in your own ability to accomplish that purpose. True freedom for a warrior comes when he knows that he has done all within his awesome power of his being to serve his people while walking a righteous path through life. Teka. When you know who you are, you know who you should and should not speak to. Sure-footedly, warriors walk in the path of our sovereignty-seeking warrior ancestors. They follow no others. Therefore, in that righteous spirit, when they speak, they're only addressing other sovereignty-seeking warriors or those who have a potential and a desire to join them on the front line. Given Urugu's need to make targets of our warriors, this can often be easier said than done. To combat this agenda without wasting too much time and energy, the question warriors need to ask in every encounter is whether or not what is said has anything to do with you. If you see it as a senseless and or stupid, as proselytizing propaganda, then do not waste your time trying to derail their discussion. Let fools be fools, and their arguments will all fall under the weight of their own irrelevance. What irrelevant people say is irrelevant. To involve yourself would be an error. Warriors should not allow Negroes, lost souls, homos, promos, or Euros to have any say in their conversations except with the possibility of using their logic as foil. And know that to concede a positive to an enemy's position is in order to appear balanced when that enemy already has a clear public advantage empowers them even further. Clarity and control are requisites to the warrior's sanity in an anti-African reality. Brothers and sisters, I know we want to shape reality in our image and interest, but we live in America, in European countries, everywhere else, in a European reality. That's why we must break the change that these Europeans have on our minds. We must be able to step outside of the imposed boundaries that they have placed upon us and look at the European for who and what they are. Affirm, I do all in my power to virtuously serve African people. Affirm, I do all in my power to virtuously serve African people. May 24th. Prisons are repositories of rage. Mumia Abdul-Jamal. Political prisoners do not take pretty pictures. When they smile, it is through the haunting eyes of immeasurable torture, terror, exhaustion, and other bewilderment over their tormentors' fear and hatred of life itself. What they survive is beyond the human imagination. They are held in places designed to break the human spirit and which have no connection with sanity. And they, more than any other inmates, are targeted for breakage because they can see the destroyers in all their nakedness. Of course, confinement and the rage it engenders among anyone contained therein is not limited to concrete and steel. Coffins. Though some of us carry the honor of being inmates, every one of us is an inmate in Urugu's reality. Let me repeat. Though some of us carry the honor of being an inmate, every one of us is an inmate in Urugu's reality. Most of us walk around in fenced yards, projecting our anger and frustration against each other. For those in this larger external prison, the confinement is usually purely mental. Within limits, we select accommodations of our oppression. Nevertheless, the point is that with whichever side of the wall we live on, all Africans are prisoners. I repeat, all Africans are prisoners. I lost my spot. Okay. And on both sides, there are political prisoners, inmates who recognize this beast and bang against its fortified walls with everything at their disposal. Inside and out, we find warriors who understand that African sovereignty cannot manifest its fear, keeps us confined within the barriers that Urugu's imposed on our existence. Fear of what they will do as a result of what we must do cannot be basis upon which we think, speak, or act, or any empowered sovereignty will never be achieved. Even beyond this, if those who would follow in our footsteps detect our fear, they will never be courageous enough to even look in sovereignty's direction. I say, affirm, I provide inmates with conscious outlets for their rage. Affirm, I provide inmates with conscious outlets for their rage. The Inyasesim of daily revolutionary thought for revolutionaries. I say, oh. Yeah, I tell you, I love Baba Baruti. Okay, I'm going to go here. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country. such high moral values, people with such caliber that I do not think that we would ever conquer this country unless we break their very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament in February 2nd of 1835. Man, every time I read that, it just, but that's why we have African Liberation Day. And that's why we should do all that we can to make African liberation a reality in our time. The first country to gain independence from the Europeans was Ghana in 1957, a few years after Nkrumah gave a speech, the Speech of Freedom in 1961. He said, "I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African race united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, and friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind." A few years later, he said this: "If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we have suffered heretofore." Man. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Because we are Africans. And because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani. I'm going to bring Bantu into discussion because we're going to talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement's African Liberation Day, which is tomorrow, and the programs that they're going to have going on. And so we'll get some clarity and some understanding of those programs. Okay. What's going on here now? I hope I'm being heard. I don't know, man. It's because everything seems to be so funny. Okay. Good morning, good morning, Mama Nabantu.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, very well.
Okay. Well, tomorrow's African Liberation Day. I did have a couple of things to say and play on, and I probably will do that after the break. And because, I want to make sure our people understand how it all happened, how those countries came together and formed the African Union, or at that time, the OAU in Addis Ababa. And but unfortunately, it's more symbolism without substance, And it's great symbolism, but I don't need no damn symbol. We need substance. We need reality. We need it to be a fact, and we need it to come into existence right now. So tomorrow evening, at 6 p.m., they're going to have the African Liberation Day from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The moderator is Sister Agnes Leslie. Where is Sister Agnes from?
Florida.
Oh, so okay. She's in Florida. Okay. And Mother Ruth Gaskin Simmons, and she's from Florida as well. And Mother Swanson. Mother Swanson is here. Mother Swanson worked with Dr. John Henry Clark in New York. Mother Swanson lives here. And when I esteemed, Mother Swanson is esteemed elder, of course, but one of who I consider one of our greatest esteemed elders here in the Atlanta area is Baba Mariba Kelsey. Baba Kelsey. So he'll be on the program. And then Nana Malaya Rucker, she's in, out of D.C. And then, of course, the chairperson, the coordinator, Brother Mwalimu Amstada, who is the coordinator of the North American Pan-African Federalist Movement. And then Ryan Sinclair, we got some musicians and poetry. And then Dr. Jacob Gordon, who's the professor emeritus. At what university is Dr. Gordon?
He's in Florida also.
Okay. Outstanding. And then Falani Africa, creative artist, film producer, director, and horticulturalist. And then brother, bibliography of, he's going to be documenting stuff. I can't pronounce his sister's name, but she's the attorney and scholar and author. She
that's been catchy, Taifa.
Taifa, yes, yeah, Sister Taifa. Yeah. She's good. She is really good. Yeah. I really like to get her on my program and talk with her.
Yeah. She just came out with a book called Black Lawyer, Black, Black Power, Black Lawyer.
Black Power, Black Lawyer, okay. Yeah, well, I tell you, in this criminal injustice system, to be a real African lawyer is very difficult, I imagine, trying to maneuver through this minutia, you know. But I appreciate and love all those brothers and sisters who have that kind of spirit and not just in it for the money, like Brother Molly Davis here in Atlanta, who has done great work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just came out with a book also.
Yes. Yes, that's right. He told me about it. What is the title of it?
We Need You. And they did from the book, he had about 30-something young adults, young teenagers, who acted out parts of the book through their art, music, dance, and also on the canvas. I was there yesterday. It was profound.
Oh, beautiful. We're at Morehouse?
No, it was someplace. I'm not sure
it
what part of Atlanta.
It wasn't Clark Atlanta area, was it?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah, that's outstanding. Right on. Yeah, because he told me about it. I need to contact him because he told me about it, and he definitely wanted to come on the program to promote it. And I said, definitely, please. So I'll reach out to him and see if we can make that happen. Brother Molly Davis.
Yeah.
And Brother Ankti Kepher Aman. Brother Ankti, he's a Pan-African Federalist Movement. He's also the treasurer of the Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. And then there's some artists. One of the artists is a local artist here, and that is Kenneth Zaki, you know, visual and poetic artist. He's just multi-talented, just a dynamic brother. And then Crank Luongo and African Roots Group and Raj Lija. It's a reggae group, reggae ambassador. And that's the program. That's the program for tomorrow, part of it, you know, because then there's a lineup. And so let's talk about the lineup. And then we'll talk about how somebody can access the program tomorrow, okay? And part of this lineup. And it starts at, once again, at 6:30. There's a drum call and libation. And then acknowledgement of elders, and I just mentioned some of the elders earlier, Mother Ruth Gaston Simmons of Florida, Mother Swanson and Baba Kelsey, and then some comments by the moderator, Sister Agnes Leslie, and of course, and some comments by Baba Amstada. And that's the first part of the opening of the program. Then we're going to have Brother Kenneth Zaki with some poetry, and then some speakers, 7 minutes each. You know, 10 minutes per speaker, 7 minutes each, and plus a 3-minute introduction. So about 10 minutes, and out of Florida, Ryan Sinclair and Dr. Jacob Green, and out of D.C., Sister Falani Africa. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll have 7:05 to 7:15, we'll have more entertainment, Crank and Raj. And then at 7:15, the main speaker, part 2, out of D.C., Sister Taifa, and brother, I don't pronounce his name, Manon Jestu, out of D.C. And then the second part is Atlanta, myself, and Brother Ankti out of Atlanta. And then the moderators for Town Hall Questions and Answers, of course, is Dr. Agnes Leslie. And then it'll close. I thought New York was going to be part of this as well.
Yeah, they're going to come on with Amstada.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So they're doing their town hall moves, like town hall meetings every 2 weeks. And they just had one last weekend. So they're going to briefly come in and talk about the next town hall meeting they're going to have.
Okay.
Out of New York. So they're organizing New York, you know, Brooklyn and, you know, Syracuse. I mean, all the different parts of New York. They're bringing them together.
Okay. What, in terms of the town hall meeting theme, what's in the name? Who came up with that? I like that, of course. I really like that because, you know,
that
I think
was Sam, who was
Sam, yeah, the youth coordinator. Yeah. Yes, good brother, good young brother. Yeah, Sam.
Yeah, he's a writer. He writes an article every, I don't know, every week with the Washington Post.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a great writer, young man.
Yeah.
Very. I think he's getting ready to get married, too.
Is he? Outstanding. Right on, brother. Right on. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So it's a virtual town hall meeting, of course. And you can, is there aside from the Zoom link that I've been giving out, is there any other way that somebody can easily contact, access this?
As far as I know, that's the link that I'm aware of. So I'm not sure of any other way you can decide that. But I also want to add that from 8:35 to, from 8:40 to 9:10, Brother Damani is going to bring forth an after-party intergeneration discussion between the youth and the elders. And it's also going to be broadcast on WRFG and live, and will also be broadcast in Florida live.
Outstanding.
And so together as we speak. And it may, I'm not sure if D.C. is going to be live or not, but it will be also on YouTube. I'm sorry. There are other ways to get in there. Facebook and YouTube, I think you can get in as well.
Facebook, listen, brothers and sisters, Facebook and YouTube, they'll be broadcasting live. And Brother Damani Aquil is our good brother here in the Atlanta area. There's a lot of the good stuff that hook us up electronically and virtually. You know, we had the last year we had the Pan-African Conference from here at the RBG studio broadcast, because we had Sister Baina when she was still in Haiti. She did libations. We had my good brother, Brother Tejumola Oluboni, doing the presentation from Milwaukee. We had entertainment from here and there and everywhere, East Coast, West Coast, and Brother Bomani and Sister Miriam put that together, and wow, it turned out well, don't you think?
Yeah, it did, and yeah. He's wanting us, you and Auntie, to be in the studio tomorrow as well.
Oh, okay, he wants us in the studio. I'm glad you said that, because I was just assuming that I was doing it right from here, from my, you know, from my bathroom. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But yeah, okay. Okay. I will definitely do that. I'll be there and of course on time. But for those, the link that is given out is the, you know, the https://2/ B as in boy, I as in Inez, I guess you want to use that, and T as in Thomas, BIT dot L as in Larry, Y as in Yvonne. So that's BIT dot LY / the number three, E as in Edward, L as in Larry, A as in Apple, O as in Oscar, T as in Tom, and D as in David. So that's, I'm going to run it through again so you can jot this down. https://2/ bit.ly/ the number 3 ELAOTD. And it's hosted by the Pan-African, the North American Pan-African Federalist Movement. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that others will listen, because I think that as African Liberation Day, every May 25th, we must hold something that raises the consciousness, you know, and entertains us, inspires us, motivates us to help liberate Africa. We as American Africans, and so I'm going to talk about the proper words, the fact that we need to use proper words. We need to understand the language, because this language, just like Ozzie Davis says, this language is my enemy. This language is my enemy. And we need to learn and use these proper words. And so every African Liberation Day should consistently bring us closer together to a reality of a liberated Africa. Because a liberated Africa is the salvation for African people. It's shown in hell ain't here. And anywhere else in the diaspora where Africans are, because wherever Africans are, as Dr. Clark said, we have no friends. We're always at the low or bottom rung of the economic ladder or the social ladder. We're always getting dogged out, mistreated. And so we need African liberation. Mama Nabantu, can you hear me correctly? Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just wanted to add that there is also another at 1 o'clock earlier. There is Brother Joe May, who is the General Secretary on the international level for Pan-African Federalist Movement, on the Pan-African DTV. It will be at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 1 o'clock.
It's on YouTube Live.
YouTube Live.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Ethiopia time, and 7 p.m. in Europe time.
So what time, East Coast time, what time?
1 p.m.
Okay, 1 p.m. Okay.
And there's a radio TV station called Pan-African Daily TV, hosted by Dr. Eni Tata. And she's going to be interviewing Brother Joe May.
Daily TV.
1 o'clock on YouTube.
Okay, Pan-African Daily TV. So on YouTube, you can go to YouTube. And what would I have to put in to get that? The presentation.
It doesn't say. It just says the Pan-African DTV.
Pan-African D as in dog?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
TV.
Pan-African DTV, Daily TV. So, okay, brothers and sisters, you have the information. And so I'm hoping. Go ahead.
I also wanted to say that the elders, Brother Baba Mariba, Kelsey and Queen Mother Ann Swanson, they will be there to give permission for our speakers to speak.
Outstanding. I always feel honored. I always feel truly honored when Baba Kelsey, you know, gives his nod, because he's an esteemed elder. Yeah.
I think both of them are 94 or 96 years old.
That's great, isn't it? They're both still sharp as a tack. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to our community. And I would hope that many of the younger brothers and sisters, you know, who are even younger than my children, maybe my grandchildren's age, you know what I'm saying? Teenagers, early 20s, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can get your grandson to listen in, especially at the last part.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my grandkids in. That's the hard part, is trying to get your own children and grandkids.
Yeah, I know.
To listen.
Well, tomorrow, they have, my grandson has basketball practice, and unfortunately for him, I won't be there. I'll be at the law for African Liberation Day. I will not be there.
Right. And I want to add one more thing. Queen Mother Ann Swanson was the John Henry Clark's secretary for 13 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He wrote a book about him as well as her own biography.
Right. And her experiences about being her secretary. It's interesting how she tells the story, how she became the secretary. You know?
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, for those of us who love Dr. Clark, and I do, I mean, I have deep affection for Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, and I didn't such in hero worship, but to me, he was a model of an African scholar. And the fact that I was blessed to have lunch with him at the Indiana Black Expo, many years ago. Yeah, many years ago. And to literally sit at his feet and to talk with him and so forth has been a highlight. Because, I mean, you know, that's my consciousness in terms of really doing something for us as a people and working with other organizations and so forth came at that time in the mid to late 70s. As I became a firefighter and organized, trying to establish a firefighter organization and other community activities, and was doing some other organizing, and I was vice president of NAACP. I really don't put that down on a resume, though. Vice president.
That was some radical time during that time.
Huh? Yeah,
that was a very, very radical time, because in Maruli Davis's book, he talked about, you know, his involvement in the 70s, and so does Nkechi Taifa. She also, in her book, talked about those times in the 70s, early 70s.
They really were. And it shaped me. It helped me, you know, a few years after that. And in fact, 92, I had changed my name. So going through the 80s and being a part of these organizations, and that's how I had opportunity to go to these conferences and so forth and network with other people. And then in 92, I changed my name and got more involved in the African liberation and understanding that and understanding that history. So those things were vital and important to me, you know, and I really thank all of those men and women who are part of my development growth. Particularly a sister named Virginia Grant Stamper, who's an ancestor, because she had a program in the late 60s. And that was really my first awakening to who we were. Because, I mean, we didn't get that in school. You know, you didn't get that in the schools. And so so the history of learning about Marcus Garvey, never heard of Marcus Garvey. You didn't even hear about the Black National Anthem. So all of these things. And the program was a community program of me as a teenager to work with youth, you know, to work with youth and to teach them these things. First, I had to learn them myself, you know, and to teach them who these people were and how important these things are, you know, and that really helped me and establish myself as a man and as a conscious man and an African man. And I've been on that quest for that knowledge ever since, and and I'll stay on it until I expire, you know, because that's what it is, a learning process, and it's ongoing, you know. It is ongoing. Yeah. So I'm going to take a break, Mama Nabantu. If you want to stick around later, I'm going to play some other stuff on African liberation, and we'll talk about it more. And please stay around so you can add your 2 cents, okay?
All right.
All right, dear.
Okay. Thank you.
Mama Nabantu of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, the North American Pan-African Federalist Movement. She's a coordinator. And we're going to have a great day tomorrow, brothers and sisters. Great day. All day. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
looking glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, calm, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They push that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on again. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, cause deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man.
What's up, fool?
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creole and Raheem, man?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for the night, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Go check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got robbed, man.
Not
what?
Again,
she got hurt.
What is happening?
What is don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Is that a gang? You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was, Gil Scott-Heron. Gil Scott-Heron, who's going to be inducted into these folks' Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't give a damn if they do it or not. Never cared. I know the demons that brother dealt with. We love him, embrace him because of the message that he consistently brought to us, alerting us that it was winter in America. You know, Gil Scott-Heron. And, of course, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. And that's a great, to me, one of the best rap albums, or best rap song of all time as far as I'm concerned. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program here, African Perspectives, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and all times are going to give our Eastern Times from 6 to 8 on tonight. Excuse me. Acres of Diamonds, public affair programming out of Philadelphia with Jahar Ahmed. From 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening. Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Time for an Awakening. And then on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. We're talking today about African Liberation Day. And, of course, we here on this program believe there is no better or more important day. It ain't June damn 10th, okay? It ain't none. To me, African Liberation Day is even more important than Kwanzaa, okay? Or any other day. African liberation, because Africa must be liberated. And Africa must be controlled and governed by Africans. Africa resources must be in the hands of Africa and Africans. Here's an announcement for Africa Rising. Excuse me.
On May the 25th, African Liberation Day, also known as Africa Day, where millions of Africans around the continent and the diaspora come together to reflect on the history and accomplishments of movements for African liberation and to strategize on ways forward for greater positive change. As a pan-African movement of over 30,000 people, Africans Rising for Justice, Peace and Dignity takes this day to engage our members in collective action wherever they are. It is a moment for us to come together and teach each other, to share information, to create art, and to reaffirm our love for the continent and our commitment to realizing pan-African unity. this year during the week of May the 25th. We invite you to join us in collective action. Our movement is organizing our May the 25th African Liberation Day 2021 mobilization under the theme Pan-Africanism in the 21st Century. Our rights, our health, and our future. Africa, it's your responsibility. In a time of such unprecedented crisis around the globe, racial justice, healthcare, and human rights, we want to know how you and your community are working together to become stronger and healthier. Rise up, Africans rise. This is Yadi Cohn, and this year her challenge is to run 200 meters. Just like Yadi Cohn, some of the ways that you can make your voice heard this May the 25th African Liberation Day are as follows: by organizing a discussion either online or in your local community on the issues relevant to Africa and African liberation. Create a short poem, opinion piece, article, or a video of yourself speaking on African Liberation Day. You can take a photo that captures your actions for African Liberation Day and post it online on your social media using the hashtag Rise for Our Lives and the hashtag Africans Rising. You can find out more information about the ways you can plan a May 25th African Liberation Day event on our website, africansrising.org. Once you have an idea of the action you want to take, joining is very simple. Just go to africansrising.org/May25. and register your event or activity with Africans Rising. We want to celebrate this day with you. You can also support Africans Rising by helping us build a stronger movement for justice, peace, and dignity. When you donate to Africans Rising, you strengthen our capacity to support grassroots activists and movements.
Africa Rising. Another piece I'm going to play.
And people's struggles, please subscribe to our YouTube channel.
May 25th is celebrated as African Liberation Day. The day marks the foundation of the Organization of African Unity in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia in 1963. The formation of the OAU, or the Organization of African Unity, was a key moment in a centuries-long struggle against colonialism, capitalism, and imperialism. For more than 500 years, African people have been dehumanized and degraded, with their bodies and labor commodified to enrich a ruling elite. From slave labor on cotton and sugar plantations to the extraction of gold and diamonds from the earth, the development of Europe and the Americas happened through the rapid exploitation of African people. Through the collective experiences of deprivation, African people in the diaspora and continent developed a resistance movement. There were many milestones in this process. The formation of independent Maroon communities by former slaves and Afro-Caribbean people, the first Pan-African Conference held in 1900, the fifth Pan-African Congress in Manchester, 1945, And over the decades, political consciousness grew around the necessity to wage a revolutionary Pan-African struggle against colonial and imperial rule in the 20th century. The revolutionary anti-colonial movements culminated in the mid-century with the independence of several African nations from European powers and the formation of the Organization of African Unity. African Liberation Day, as it came to be known, was born from the fierce fight for a new society. As Kwame Nkrumah said, the African Revolution, while still concentrating its main effort on the destruction of imperialism, colonialism, and neocolonialism, aims at the same time to bring about a radical transformation of society. The choice has already been made by the workers and peasants of Africa. They have chosen liberation and unification, for the political unification of Africa and socialism are synonymous. One cannot be achieved without the other. Today, African unity and liberation from exploitation is a distant reality. Western Sahara and some islands in the Indian Ocean remain under colonial rule. Capitalism continues to brutally ravage and exploit Africa and its people. The IMF and World Bank have consistently imposed a neo-colonial agenda on the continent, and the Organization of African Unity, now known as the African Union, is a puppet of capital and elite interests. The International Working Class on May 25th celebrates the victories of revolutionary Pan-Africanism. On African Liberation Day, it recalls the long history of struggles against class exploitation. The working class knows more than ever that attaining full emancipation demands a revolution from below in the interests of people over profit. The only antidote to imperialism that continues to impoverish the African people is an organized force in Africa, ready to pursue Pan-Africanism under scientific socialism.
That's what we need, brothers and sisters. We need Africa to be for Africans. So this African Liberation Day tomorrow, in years ahead, I believe we should mark progress. We should give out assignments, hold people to them, assist in making sure that those things are being done, and every year, how much progress have we made towards the liberation of Africa for African people? When you consider the hundreds of years that have passed and what these people have done to us, these are crimes against humanity. When you consider what these people have done to us, there is no way in hell that I would ever sit down at a table with Caucasians, Europeans, white people, crack, whatever, and negotiate a damn thing. Watch the documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes, and how they lie and develop so-called treaties that they break almost even before the ink is dry. I remember Malcolm talking about the Bangdong Conference where no Caucasians were allowed to attend. You know, I don't know what specific things that came out of the Bangdong Conference that were beneficial. Maybe I should do some research on it. But if anybody knows, has any idea, has any knowledge, just some references, please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. But the point I'm making is that just like in the Pan-African Federalist Movement, no Caucasians. You might have relatives, you might have friends or whatever. No. This is for us. This is for us. This is for African people. Here we're 20 years into this so-called 21st century. And I think there's been some declarations, you know, once again, sometimes these declarations aren't worth, you know, the verbiage that they're stated, you know, because they ain't about nothing. It's supposed to be the decade, I believe it is, 2015 to 2025. Well, it's only four more years of 2025. And I don't see the groundswell of progress to make Africa liberated or have African people be liberated in the immediate future. But let me say this, because I want to be clear on this program. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. This program's motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Committed to that, I have no illusions. I have none. But I understand that we are dealing with the African mind. And that's the only thing that needs to change is the African mind. Everything else will fall into place when our minds are right. That's why they say, well, Brother Oshie, you changed your name. Do you promote? No, hell no. Promote name changes for us. If you have an African name and you use your African name, because you also have a European name and you use your African name, and maybe even did what I did. I changed my name. In fact, my name is the same name as our good brother, M. Stotter, Eddie Brown. That's right. His name was Eddie Brown. My name was Eddie Brown. And our names have changed because our consciousness has changed. But let me just say this. I'm doing the same thing right now and saying the same things I'm saying right now as Eddie Brown, as Oshiemi Adelabu. I'm saying the same thing. And I will say the same thing till I can't speak anymore. Either I have dementia or I expired. Hopefully I expired. I don't want to have dementia. I don't want to be here and not be able to converse, not to be able to tell brothers and sisters. Because I feel that's my portion for the liberation of African people, is to use this vehicle to put something on the minds of our people. You know, when I was a firefighter back in Milwaukee, we work a day off 2 days, and I would go to schools because I'm not mechanical. I can't, you know, and so I run my mouth. So I worked in schools and working with young men and even some young women and trying to elevate their consciousness. I would always say to them, I'm going to show you and teach you things that you are not going to get in this school, because it was a public school. But even sometimes you can have charter and choice and independent and even sometimes African-centered, if the leadership of that school is not really African-centered, teaching the wrong things. And so I was committed to those days that I was supposed to be there, to be on time, and to be an example as a model in helping these young men and young women understand the importance of being who we are and respecting ourselves and respecting each other. We need each other. I know we have the week after next, Baba Baruti's Complementarity, 7th Annual Complementarity Conference coming up. Details will be coming out there at each program. Like I said, I'll be here Wednesday and we'll talk about the massacre. Then I'll be in Tulsa for the commemoration of the 100th year of the Tulsa massacre. And that's why it's important that we have right verbiage, just like the presentation tomorrow on the Pan-African Federalist Movement's What's in a Name. It wasn't a race riot. It was a massacre. It was a massacre. Caucasians was waiting for anything to jump off. And I bet, hell, if didn't nothing jump off because of what us might have, or what we might have done, they might have created something so it could jump off, so they can vamp on that community, because that community was thriving The money changed hands in that community 10 times before it ever left. Name me a community today where that's happening. Hell, name me a community that the money doesn't change over three times, two times, or hell, once it comes in your hands, it immediately goes out. Name me a place. Rescue me if I'm wrong. So we're going to continue to talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. I'm going to be talking with Mama Nabantu tomorrow at 6 p.m. And I will be at the RBG, Red, Black, and Green Loft. And I was there last year, and we broadcasted a great program last year. Had brothers and sisters from literally around the world. Talking with some brothers from South America, Caribbean, on the continent, and in the UK, you know. And we need a Pan-African conference. We need a Pan-African conference that's going to state unequivocally, is going to put the gauntlet down. This is what it's about. Everything else, you know, I envision it has something to say that, you know, when you are coming here, you are you're a decision maker to some degree of that country. Because, you know, when they talk about Africa has 54 sovereign countries. No, they don't. I can't even speak to how Africa is so messed up, which countries would be even considered sovereign. And once again, if you know that there's a country in Africa that is so together, that it truly has done for the people what it should do in terms of their survival, their livelihood, their health, their well-being. The country has roads, it has highways, it has hospitals, it has schools, it has good housing, it has energy, whether it's solar or wind, whatever kind that could be developed. Name me a place. That place could be on the continent, all throughout the continent, if African people would unify. Would African people would put down all the, and then tell the oppressor, tell the Caucasian, the colonizer, get the hell out. Kick out the Chinese who are abusing Africans, marrying African women so they can have a stake in Africa. Nowhere else on this damn planet is there a group of Africans who are in an area or anywhere that are independent and sovereign. Nowhere. But in Southern Africa, after the country was taken over by us, no, it really wasn't, through some bull-ass agreements, Nelson Mandela became the president, and they have subsequent presidents afterwards, but in actuality, in Namibia and in South Africa, Caucasians still run it. Because if you got the military, you're in control of it, and you got the money, you're in control of it, you're in control. I don't give a damn how many dark faces you have in high places, all these rules and laws and so forth. It doesn't mean a damn thing. But there's some Caucasians in South Africa who just can't fathom being under the rule of African people. Some of them, of course, left and went back to Holland, the Dutch, the Boers, went back to England or whatever else, or moved to another African country, maybe like Namibia, where the Germans were and still are. The French is all over Africa. In fact, France even said it itself, that if we had to give back we could no longer exploit and take from, we would be a shithole country. When you look at Europe today, when you look at all the stuff they have, all these museums, all the, it is because of Africa. And then they talk about all the primitiveness of Africa. Look at all the artwork is. Look at the ancient Kemetic artwork, pots, pottery, figurine, all of that. In the Louvre Museum, in the Berlin Museum, in the British Museum, Museum of Science, the Field Museum here in the States. We need a plan of action. We need to sit down or on whatever the case may be. I would prefer it being in a room where we develop these plans, because anybody and everybody could go online and intercept and so forth. We make sure that it's secure and we hash this out and we establish who is going to do what and when are they going to do it by, and make sure and hold them accountable. Our future is not guaranteed. I love that song from Muhammad Ali. I believe our children are our future. Teach them well. Let them know all the beauty they have inside. Give them a sense of pride. You can sing that and say that, but the future is tenuous for African people, because we in a damn European reality. They shaped and fashioned it in their image and in their interest. You see people like Howard Nicholas, who said, we must keep Africa poor. Because if Africa becomes independent and Africa begins to produce, make products, yes, they have raw material, but we don't want them producing cocoa to be competitive with Nestle's and Cadbury's and all these other damn places around the world. No. To me, they should nothing come in Africa. It's really sad. And, I, you know, for those who are listening who have probably been to Africa, when you've gone to places like Ghana or Nigeria or wherever, and you see brothers and sisters on the streets with, you know, with all the stuff on their head, and they're selling everything because there is no safety net. There is no government programs. And many times the government is shiesty. They're corrupt. And so, just like I was saying that time about One Africa, my good sister, Amakus. One Africa is located in between Cape Coast and Elmina dungeons, not castles. They're not castles. They're dungeons, holding pens of our people before they are shipped off as they go through the door of no return. That's what they are. And Sister Amakus at One Africa, I remember her husband, who's a former firefighter in New York City. Yep. Nana Kofu. And that night that I saw those lights on the horizon, and I inquired about him, and he told me it was a Japanese fishing vessel. Because Japan had, you know, they're around their islands, all the fish were gone, they fished out, you know. And so they looked for other areas, and Ghana had a contract with Ghana. And what was interesting, I remember watching the brothers cast out their net to try to get the fish pretty much at, from shore, just a little bit, you know, maybe 4 or 5 feet, or 4 feet from shore, to throw their nets out there and then pull them in and see what they can get, throw them out there again. And here's this fishing, commercial fishing vessel, gathering all the fish, clean and processed, packaged, froze, and then shipped them to Japan. And then whatever the agreement was between Ghana and Japan, so they can provide some fish for Ghana when they should be doing it themselves. Just like I was in that cocoa farm saying the same damn thing. Just like I said when I first went to Ghana in the 90s and went to Ghana a couple years ago, 2019. And I don't see the progress that we should have. We as African people. If the leadership of that country does not want to come to the table to discuss this, that leadership should be ousted. Any leadership that's not, and the leadership in the north of Africa, if they don't want to come together and stop this madness that they have been doing for years, they're still enslaving us, castrating us. If they don't want to, find a way to get rid of them. Get rid of them folks in Libya. Get rid of those folks in Egypt. Get rid of them in Algeria, Morocco, Mauritania. Get rid of them. Because Africa is ours. Send your ass back to Syria, back to wherever. Go to Europe. Give us a call. Join us on this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about African Liberation Day tomorrow, every May 25th. May 25th is, to me, one of the most special days because I envision a liberated Africa. I envision an independent, self-determining, sovereign Africa. And whatever I can do to make it happen, I will do. Whatever sacrifices I need to be made. If it's monetary, whatever amount of money I have. And I ain't got no money. I don't. I told you I was a city Milwaukee firefighter. Damn. I wouldn't. So I ain't got no money. But I would truly be willing to share all that I have. Years ago, I often said, because you know, I love sports. I played sports. I boxed. I played football, basketball. I coached for 30 years, refereed for damn near the same amount. Basketball, I refereed. I refereed basketball. That's why it's tough to go to some of these games for my grandson, because these cats be making some terrible calls. In fact, the other day, they called a cat. They called the cops on me. I ain't bullshitting. They called the cops on me because this cat's call was so terrible. I guess I was too demonstrative. I yelled, man, that call is terrible, man. You know, I didn't threaten him. I didn't say I was going to kick his ass or anything. But he stopped the game. Some tall Caucasian. He stopped the game. He went over to the scorer's table. He requested that the management of this big sports complex come there. And then the cops came there. And I talked with them earlier. I had got some coffee from somebody who was promoting some coffee, and I talked to these cops. Anyway, they said, yeah. I said, hey, you made a bad call. What, I can't say that? And you're going to kick me out? No, it ain't happening. And it cost $15 to get in? Yeah. They're making money. But my point being, you know, I could do sports. But I've often said I would sacrifice any and everything, give up sports. If they said, if your people could be liberated, if your people could be self-determining, if your people could be sovereign, I'd give it all up. They said you couldn't watch that no more. It'll happen, but you couldn't want. I'd give it up if that was going to be the reality. What are we all willing to do for African liberation? Let me tell you, on this arrest, on a radio station here, they ain't saying nothing about African Liberation Day. Many places, newspapers, so forth. I mean, I ain't talking about the Caucasians. I'm talking about who are, now I know the radio station here is not owned by us, but it is catered to us. And they ain't saying nothing because they ain't owned by us. And they ain't want to, they don't want you talking about African liberation. I got a call, 646. Good afternoon.
Yo, what's going on, ODO?
What's happening, Jay? We missed you on Friday.
You know, man, I don't even listen when that little short fat boy is on the phone, man. I can't take his voice, man, so
okay,
I don't even
okay,
subject
brother.
Myself to that
okay.
type of madness. But I know that's your boy, man.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's why I don't hate on him too bad.
Thank you.
But no, I'm just enjoying your show today.
Well, thank you, Jay.
The bottom line is this: until we as a people are ready to die, we just going to be in this same predicament. That's the only reason that the white man has been able to do what he's been able to do to us is because of our unwillingness to die.
Yeah.
Once you get
fear.
To that point,
fear.
Like most people have. That have been able to get this white man off their back, you know, it's just going to be a continuous situation of us being, you know, attacked bomb and mistreated bomb. So I'm at the point to where I don't even get caught up in it no more. I'm sorry to say, man. It's just the reality of our collective punkness. You know, it's just like, you know, you're going to Tulsa for Friday and beyond. And what you're going to notice is the narrative of not calling out this white man for what he did. Mm-hmm. They're going to try and come up with some sort of excuse to make it seem that the devil ain't do what he did on the level that he did because of envy and jealousy. You know, it's just amazing that we're going to find out excuses to, you know, say he's a good white man. And we need to be a part of this white man system. And let's forgive this white man. And that's just going to be it. So, I mean, to me, I don't even get caught up in it. I'm not even going to pay it too much mind. Because I know ain't nobody going to talk about real retribution or what needs to be done to this devil.
I understand what you're saying, Jay. I really do. I was, when I went to Tulsa last year, January, and what I wanted to see was how were they dealing with it, if they were going to be talking about it in the way that they should. I was impressed, at least by the brother, Chief Ugumawali, in his presentation and what he does in Tulsa, because he's grassroots. And so, and I was impressed with the school. I was impressed with the school that talks about it and has signs and other displays of it and how they deal with it. They don't sugarcoat it. You know, they're giving it straight. No chaser.
But there's always one or two that's going to do that, because those are the ones that have to put the narrative out to counter-react what the devil is putting out so that they could continue to do their thing. It's in all reality, in a sense, it's a feed-off game. Mm-hmm. So that's why they'll allow one or two to be able to tell the truth about it, but on the collective, it's a no-go.
Yeah. No, definitely.
You just gotta peep game. That's all.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, let's be honest. You gotta peep the game and how the game is being played and the
Yeah.
Well, now, is the real truth going to come out? Do they want the real truth to come out? I mean, we know what the real truth is, but you asking people to deal with something that, in honest, black folks don't want to deal with the pain of their brutalization. Because if you deal with the pain of your brutalization, then you want to strike some sort of vengeance on those that abuse you. I've never met nobody who really never wanted to
have some kind of revenge.
Vengeance on their abuser. The only reason they don't is because they scared.
Yeah. And
that's the only reason.
And that's what the point you made at the beginning, Jay. We're afraid. It's fear.
Yeah. It's fear.
You know.
Now the question becomes, in all honesty, should you be afraid of the white man? And the answer should be, if we're going to be honest, you should be afraid of him.
Well, he has proven.
Let me finish the point.
Okay.
The reason why you should be afraid of him is because he'll kill you at a drop of the hat.
There you go.
So with you understanding that, you then have to make the commitment to kill him at the drop of the hat. Now, we haven't gotten to that point because of the way that we've been psychologically programmed.
And so
the bottom line is, until you get to that point, we'll just be in the same position. And is that a bad thing? Of course it's a bad thing, but it's a reality.
Well, you know, one of the things that
we don't want to face.
One of the things that the documentary drew, Exterminate All the Brutes, pointed out is the consistent thing, and as I said on this program many times, the Caucasian European white man, the cracker, has always found a better way to kill your ass. And the fact that he has the armament, he consistently, over periods of time, modernized, developed the technology, the armament to kill people. In fact, that piece they talked about in the documentary, Killing from a Distance, was deep. You know, because before, you know, when they had the musket and so forth, we ran their ass over and we killed them. There was a few victories we won. But then, of course, they got so-called automatic weapons, machine guns, Gatling gun, that gun they turned the thing over and bullets fired out. And then not only that, the distance, because the musket, that didn't even go 100 feet. They could shoot right at you and the thing would just drop, you know. But now that they had weapons that could shoot hundreds of yards, you know, now they have stealth stuff. The technology to exterminate people is even deeper today than when they were doing it 100 or so years ago.
Okay. You know? The white man is the greatest killer on the planet.
He's the most evil.
There's no other killer than the white man on the planet.
Right. He is the greatest threat to human life and to life, period.
To
life, period, on the planet. You know? But see, Jay, what you understand is that because of his evil genius, just like Minister Farrakhan said, the evil genius of the Germans, and he got into the uproar, you know, wickedly. They were wickedly great. But the evil genius of these Europeans, of these Caucasians, you know, they deceive you. They pretend like they're for humanity. They have set up things like, you know, United Nations and all this old stuff. A lot of that shit ain't worth a damn thing. I remember always us talking about petitioning to the United Nations, all these atrocities, all these things that have happened. Yes, the United Nations did say that the slave trade was a crime against humanity, of which there is no statute of limitations. So therefore, we can mount a charge against those who have perpetrated that dastardly deed on us and hopefully maybe get recompense or get some kind of retribution or some kind of restitution. But I don't look for that.
You ain't gonna get no restitution.
I don't look for that.
From the white man?
I don't look for that.
What are you talking about?
No, let me say this to you. I believe if African people were unified, if African people controlled their resources. African people can then begin to make the demand because we have what they need, make the demand that you will pay reparations for what you have done. You shall reap what you sow. You know, I believe it. But that is only when African people, and to make sure that we include and exclude for those who are agent provocateurs, for those who are puppets, we deal with them, the burning necktie, or any other way of exterminating them, eliminating them. You want to deal with the cracker? You want to work for the white man? You want to do some clandestine stuff against us? You got to go.
Ochi, if you keep on using that C word, I'm going to have to go back to using it, bro. It's a beautiful word.
That's my bad, man. I try not to. I try not to. You know, I've been told. I've been told not only by Elliot. Scotty called me up one time, you know.
Hey, yo, I'd like to know, all I want to know is why everybody so scared of the word? I prefer that in my all-time favorite, if the truth be told.
What's that? What's your all-time favorite? The hunky?
No.
Redneck?
No.
Peckerwood?
I like Peckerwood.
Peckerwood?
Yeah, Peckerwood is the one that I enjoyed the most, calling the devils. But you know, the bottom line is why people are scared of that word because of the fact that that's what they used to do to us with the whip.
Yeah,
that's how they got the word came from.
Right, that's where the word came from.
You know what I mean?
Cracking the whip.
You don't want to deal with that reality of how you was being treated by these people with that whip.
That's right.
Where the sign would go, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, the bottom line is we got to stop being afraid of dealing with the reality that we have been oppressed by this white man, brutalized by this white man. You know, the bottom line is everything evil done to another human being has been done by the white man towards us and every other person on the planet bomb. I mean, I just hope there could come a day when black people would have the confidence to just say that the white man is no effing good and that there's no decency whatsoever within them and that they all need to be put to death. That's all. If we could ever get to that point, I mean, it'd be a beautiful thing. Yeah. But unfortunately,
I look at it this way. We just get out of whatever the Caucasian is doing. Get out. We ain't a part of nothing that they're dealing with. We're not a part of anything at all to do with the Caucasian, and they have zero control of anything that we're doing. Get out. It's total separation.
That's not the mindset of black folks because black folks use that beautiful word, inclusion.
Well, see, that's the point. I'm saying
inclusion out of the mouth for the Negro, you may have a fighting chance. But I'm a betting man. I say there's two words that will never get out of the mouth of the Negro. Inclusion and diversity.
Well, see,
are the two most harmful words that the Negro face this day.
And so what I'm saying is the word that I'm totally operating on, that's why a lot of times you hear me put emphasis on it, is sovereignty. And that means that we are not asking for inclusion. We're not asking for diversity. We're not asking for integration. We're not asking to please allow me to live in your neighborhood. Please hire me. Please promote me. Please let me go to the schools you go to. Please. No, none of that. This is something that we're doing independent of anybody. This is self-determining. This is who we are and what we are. And you are excluded. You are excluded from even given a damn suggestion, excluded from all of that. We don't want to hear a damn thing you got to say.
I done told you that's not going to happen, Ocean.
Yeah, well,
that's not in the nation. That's not in the nature of our mutual psyche.
Well, let me say this to you, Jay.
You are my brother, but you off when it comes down to that.
Well, let me say this to you, Jay. Hold on, Jay. Let me say this to you, because I got to go. And I got to go literally, because I'm running up against some time, because I got to get out of here and do some things before I leave town to go to Tulsa. But let me say this. That is my adamant belief of African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die, I go to the grave with it. I work towards it. I believe and feel, I know it will happen. It must happen, because if it doesn't happen, Jay, we dead. We gone. If it doesn't happen. And that's the name of that. I got to go, Jay. I'll be talking about Tulsa. I'll be talking about Tulsa. On Wednesday.
I'll be listening on Wednesday.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Peace to you. Brothers and sisters, we end this program. Let me once again, because it's tomorrow, the Pan-African Federalist Movement. We're having African Liberation Day. May 25th is African Liberation Day. Always remember that. Always do something on that day. Whether it's a discussion, whatever it is, to understand the importance of African being liberated, and understand that Africans embrace that. It is tomorrow at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a Zoom link. The Zoom link is https://2/ bit.ly/ the number 3, the letter ELAOTD. And you can be a part of that. Also, too, it's going to be on YouTube. There's a, after the program, there'll be some interaction with youth and so forth. So it's going to be a great program, brothers and sisters. Any other programs that you may have, please enjoy them. Please participate. Let us begin to make African liberation a reality and a celebration for our future. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.